The reading is there before you. We read this last week, and I'll read it again, maybe not all of it today, but just to remind you, the story is, of course, King David, who was the celebrity, the main man of the day, King of Israel, and the leader of his people, and God chose him to be that, and then he messes up, good and proper. Publicly. And he seeks God. And that's the background to this particular psalm. And he says, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions. And my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop. And I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways so that sinners will turn back to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, you who are God my Saviour, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. You, God, will not despise. May it please you to prosper Zion, to build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in the sacrifices of the righteous, in burnt offerings offered whole, and then bulls will be offered on your altar." May God bless his word to our hearts. Last week, we looked at how the great public figure, the celebrity of his day, the man who caught the attention and had the adoration of all the people, King David, and how he fell from grace, in a sense, and was utterly disgraced. And he comes in the psalm, and the psalm is in a sense a song which speaks of his penitence, how bad he feels about it all. He committed adultery, and not only that, but he killed this woman's husband in order to get what he wanted. It wasn't just a wee lie, although that is sin too. But it was a big thing. It was a massive thing in his life. And it was a public thing to all and sundry. He was a person in a public place, in a prominent position, and this had happened. And we've seen the scenario so often, and we see it still in our own day. And often the reaction simply is to say, well, he'll get what he deserves. But as I said last week, how would you or I feel if it was you or me? And in a sense, it is you and me. Because anything that falls short of the glory of God in Jesus Christ, anything that falls short of the ideal of morality in Jesus is sin. Anything that turns away from what God has worked out for his people and how to live their lives, then that is sin. I could stand here today and say, well, you can't find a flaw in my life. Publicly, you may not. Outwardly, you may not. But if you look in my heart, you will. You will. And what's in there usually comes out. Eventually. And we're all sinners before God. But David found and was finding, and the whole of this psalm speaks of how he goes to God because he knows that God still loves him. He goes to God because he knows that God is the only one who can forgive him because his sin is primarily against God. He goes to God because he wants a new way of life and a new future, and nobody else can give him that but God. That's why he goes to him. And he comes, and as he goes through the psalm, he speaks of the possibilities. He speaks of the forgiveness of sins. He speaks of the past cleansed. He speaks of a future opening up. He says, God, you can do this for me. And he has hope for the future. And he finds forgiveness. He sees the possibilities. And he begins to feel that God really loves him, really forgives him, and really has a future for him. And it's the same with us. When we come in our sin, God speaks to us in the same vein, shows us the same qualities, brings to us the same words and the same power and the same grace. But you may say, well, this was one massive incident in David's life. He came full of penitence, full of sorrow for his sin. He came and he acknowledged it. He asked God's forgiveness. He found his peace and he starts again afresh. But what about down the line? What happened to him later? Where was he 10, 15, 20 years down the line? That's what counts. One momentary experience, that's one thing. But something that's consistent and sustainable down the line, that's different. Well, where was David later? What happened to David? And we see several things here. I just want to mention two or three. David was actually forgiven. I say that deliberately because when God forgives us, very often our problem is that we can't sometimes forgive ourselves. Very often our problem is that we don't really believe that it's possible for God to forgive us. Sometimes we want to wallow in our failure and to leave it there and to feel sorry for ourselves. And we need to know that when God speaks forgiveness in Jesus Christ to our hearts, he has spoken a final word of forgiveness that cleanses us, and that's it done with through Jesus. We saw the story in recent days of the Church of Scotland minister whose relatives were killed in Nairobi. And he forgave those who killed them. He speaks of forgiveness. He's exemplifying the grace and the love of God. God was under no illusions about David or about you and me. He made us. He knows our potential for both evil and for good. And in Jesus, he extends undeserved forgiveness, grace, and new life. Undeserved. David isn't coming saying, look, Lord, I've been penitent, so you've got to give me forgiveness. Or I'm going to be religious now, so you've got to forgive me. Or I'm going to do some good deeds now, so you've got to forgive me. It's not that way. We don't earn forgiveness. We don't pay for it. We couldn't. We don't deserve it. And we cannot earn it by any religious activities that we may engage in. God gives it out of sheer mercy, grace and love. That's because of who he is. And David was forgiven. He experienced the wonderful joy of knowing that when God says He forgives us, He actually does. I well remember my first experience of becoming a Christian. And the thing that stood out for me was two things. God loved me and God forgave me all the stuff that was in here. And there was a lot of stuff, believe me. And that was a release. That was a joy. It was as if I'd been released to be the person that God wanted me to be because I was forgiven. And that's what it's like. And that's what it's like all down the line still today. Because I still sometimes mess up. And I need God's forgiveness and I need God's grace afresh. David was forgiven. Take that to heart. Whoever you may be, whatever may be your circumstances today. The second thing is that David was restored. In a very different culture, in a very different circumstance, in today's world, if somebody messes up in public, they're out. Because they want to keep the slate clean and look good. And if you have a similar circumstance today, they're finished, done with, over, their life is finished. And the whole of society almost claps its hands and says, that's the way it should be. It didn't happen with David. He was still the king. He still went on to serve God. David was restored. God did not put him on probation, as you and I may have done. God knew his sincere repentance, his deep longing to serve him again, and his genuine desire to follow his ways again. He restores him in his service and uses him again as king among his people. That's the quality of the God who is love and righteousness and justice all in one. We see this in the revelation of Jesus, who is love and righteousness and justice all in one. He didn't put him away into the rubbish tips of Jerusalem, which was called Hades. He picks him up, restores him, cleanses him, and puts him back to work again. Even 300 years later, Isaiah says, I will defend the city and save it for my sake and for the sake of my servant David. In Acts 13:22, Paul speaks of God saying, David is a man after my own heart. 1,000 years later, it's remembered not by his failure, but by his service and commitment to God. David was forgiven. David was restored. I think that human nature finds it very difficult to restore. We find it easier to condemn. And God is a God of justice. He's a God judge of all the earth. And yet, when there is true penitence, He restores and renews. And thirdly, we find down the line and down his history and down the later years, David didn't have it easy. He didn't have it easy. Some people think of the Christian life or restoration after forgiveness as being a recipe for ease and comfort and no problems. If it's something easy, comfortable, no problems and all orderly, somebody has said, if you're looking for that, then the grave is your place. Because in this life, it's not like that. David had still to live his life in the real world of human pain, failure, and imperfection. He saw Bathsheba's baby die. He had some of his family rise up against him. And he had people who were his trusted friends who almost stabbed him in the back. This restored, forgiven life has to be lived in the same old world. And it's only by the grace and power of God that we can survive and win. We have to walk closely with Christ every day and not allow the sins of the past to catch up with us again. Repentance is not a sentimental sorry, but a new way of obedience to and reliance upon God every day. There's a similarity between David and Peter in the New Testament. Peter had denied his Lord publicly. He'd messed up. He was full of remorse. He was a broken man. But when Jesus met him by the risen Jesus met him by the shore, he asked him three times, which were a reminder of his sins, but also a reminder of hope. He said, "Do you love me?" And eventually Peter says, "Yes, I have affection for you." And he said, "Feed my sheep." Forgiveness, restoration to the task to which God had called him. But it wasn't easy. And Peter's time and Peter's life is a story of pressure, difficulty, against all the odds. I remember a man in one of my churches whose family came to church, but he never did. And when I went to visit them, he was never there. He was an alcoholic. He was in a prominent position in the community, but he hid it. And eventually he came to see his children, his young girls, teenagers being baptized. And when he came back again. And eventually he came to Christ and found deliverance, forgiveness, and new hope. 1 year down the line, I got a call saying, "Jimmy's back on the drink." And this person who called me was more or less saying, "Didn't think it would last." But I went to his home. We shared together in prayer. He confessed his failure and started afresh again in God's grace. And he never looked back from that moment. He was a changed man, delivered and made new. And that's the hope for all of us in the story of David, the story of Peter, and the story of the Jimmy that I spoke about. So take it to heart, take it with you today as you have your lunch and as you go out into the street or back to the office or back to your home or back to the normality of whatever may be your life today. God go with you. Let's pray together.